Show, we talk about the songs of Kate Bush and we play them. And today's episode is about songs of Kate Bush which relate to historical figures. And the first song we're going to listen to is Houdini from the Dreaming album, which was released in 1982. Now, we all know Harry Houdini, the famous escape artist, magician, and illusionist. But this song actually isn't written from Houdini's perspective. It's written from the perspective of his widow, Bess Houdini. And much of the song is sung from a point in time after Houdini's death. Now, what you may not know about Houdini, he despised mediums, spiritualists, people who claimed to be able to speak with the dead. Communicate with the dead. I think we're familiar with a few of those going around with our own TV shows today. Well, Houdini despised these people and he said they were all fraudsters and tricksters. And of course, being an illusionist himself, he knew the tricks. And apparently when his mother died, many of these clairvoyants and mediums tried to get him to hand over cash and say his mother was communicating with him. So he actually made it his mission to expose these fraudsters, these mediums who promised they could speak with the dead, expose their tricks and share them with the world. He was also well aware that if he should die, many of these mediums would try to approach his wife and say that he was coming through from the other side. So he came up with an ingenious little plan. And that was that he and his wife would have a code phrase so that if he died and was trying to communicate with her from the other side, he would use this code phrase and she would know that it was him. And the code phrase was Rosabelle, believe, which was a line from a play which she had been in. Well, the true story is that after Houdini died, Bess Houdini held seances every year for 10 years, and she never heard Rosabelle believe. And after 10 years, she said, "That's it. No more seances. 10 years is enough to wait for any man." But in songs, we can imagine things that didn't really happen. So in Kate Bush's song Houdini, we're given a reimagining of what it might have been like had Houdini come through from the other side and said those words. Now, another way in which this song differs from the true account is that we all know that Houdini died from a punch to the stomach. Not very glamorous. He wasn't ready. Someone punched him. But Kate gives us a death much more befitting, an expert escape artist and risk taker like Houdini. In her song, he dies performing his famous Chinese water torture trick. And he's pulled out of this tank, bound, drowned, and paler than you've ever been. Now, when listening to this song, bear in mind that there's quite a sharp distinction between the verses and the chorus. So the verses are where Bess Houdini is sitting in on the seances, and they're quite gentle, waiting to see if Houdini would come through. The choruses are the flashback to Houdini's death as he's pulled out of the tank, and they're dramatic, with Bess Houdini in hysterics over her husband's death. She's in utter hysterics. So there is a back and forth in the song. But then it culminates about the second verse, second chorus, it culminates into an overlap. We're not sure whether we're in the past or the present. And this is the idea because what Kate wants to convey to us in that last section is the idea of Houdini, the master escape artist, who's able to escape even death itself and utter those beautiful words, Rosabelle, believe. Here is Houdini from The Dreaming. Now, Kate was inspired to write our next song after hearing a conversation by a family friend who told of being at a dinner party and meeting a very charismatic and entertaining man with whom this friend had a very, very entertaining conversation and thoroughly enjoyed their company, only to find out the next day that it was Oppenheimer, J. Robert Oppenheimer, the physicist who was one of the physicists responsible for building the atomic bomb, and with whom this individual had very strong conflicting opinions. And Kate Bush was quite intrigued by this idea of meeting someone and finding them so engaging and so personable, and then finding out who they are later, only to suddenly and very quickly change your opinion of them. So that situation inspired this next song, Heads We're Dancing, about a girl who is invited to dance by Hitler, but of course she doesn't know who he is. And she finds him charming, and she finds him gracious, and she finds him entertaining, and she does dance with him. And then the next day in the morning paper, she finds out who he is, and she's obviously appalled. So there's some interesting thoughts which come up here. We tend to think that people whose actions repulse and repel us mustn't have any good qualities at all. But sometimes these people in person are quite charming or entertaining or gracious. And that can be quite conflicting. Sometimes they're attractive. And that's the kind of conflict which Kate is bringing up in this song. She's also bringing up the idea of chance. It's called Heads We're Dancing for a reason, because her dance partner comes up to her with a coin and says, "Heads we dance." And so there's a 50-50 chance that she wouldn't have danced with Hitler, but the coin turned up heads, and that determined the future. So there's this sense of the role of chance in all of our lives to take us one way or another. We don't know where the future will lead. So with those thoughts in mind, here is Heads We're Dancing from The Sensual World.
Oh,
I love the mechanical feel of that song. But now let's listen to something that's not mechanical at all. Let's listen to Delius, A Song of Summer, which was released on the Never Forever album in 1980. Delius is about the British composer Frederick Delius, who was around in the early 20th century. And Frederick Delius is known for having a level of emotionality in his work, which was quite unusual at the time. And also, he's known for taking a lot of inspiration from a lot of diverse sources. So it's not too unusual that Kate Bush would very much like and enjoy Delius's compositions, because she herself both has a high level of emotionality in her work and takes from a very wide variety of sources and inspirations. Delius always had a very strong and passionate but small band of supporters, which you could also say about Kate Bush. No, not small, but supportive and passionate, yes. Kate learned about Delius after watching a documentary called A Song of Summer, and this documentary itself is known to be quite well regarded. And the documentary wasn't actually about the entirety of Delius's career. It was actually focused on the last very fruitful years of his life. As an old man, Delius suffered from symptoms relating to syphilis, which he'd contracted many, many years earlier. And by all accounts, he was a very moody, crotchety, and unhappy old man who had a lot of musical ideas in his head, but due to his ailing body, he wasn't able to put them down on the page. And he was trying to dictate his music to his wife, but of course she had very little or no musical training and was not able to put down the complicated melodies that he wanted. Now, a young music student named Eric Fenby learned of this and offered himself up as an amanuensis, someone who takes down musical notation. And that was the start of a wonderful, fruitful partnership. By all accounts, it was a challenging experience for Fenby, because Delius was a crotchety old man and he was impatient. And he would say things like, notate this, ta 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 ta. Impossible to notate a melody without any melody. But gradually they worked each other out, and out of those last few years they produced some wonderful pieces of music, including a violin sonata called A Song of Summer. So I think Kate was really inspired by the story of this unlikely partnership. A young man just starting out in music, an old man at the end of his life, with all the music in his head but no way of conveying it, and a perfect partnership together they were able to create such beautiful music. And ultimately it's a song about humans coming together. It's a story about humans coming together to help each other, to match each other's deficiencies and offer each other's strengths. And that is what certainly gets me all choked up about that story. Have a listen to the song and see if it gets you choked up too. A couple of things to listen for. You can hear Kate singing in a very high-pitched melody in the background, which sounds a bit like she's singing in Latin. That's a bit tongue-in-cheek, because she's not singing Latin. She's singing Delius, Delius amat, syphilus Deus genius. So a little reference to the syphilis that he was suffering from. And also you hear him saying ta 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 and in be Fenby. But I think the overall lightness and sweetness of Kate's song really conveys something of the sweetness of Delius's music. Here is Delius, A Song of Summer. And that was Delius, A Song of Summer, from the Never Forever album. There's a very interesting interview, which you can find on YouTube, which featured Kate alongside a rather old Eric Finby. Of course, he was an old man at that time. And they played the video clip to the song you just heard. And he, of course, was very chuffed to have inspired a young Kate Bush to create her own song about Delius. So we've had Delius, we've had Hitler, we've had Houdini. I think it's about time we had a female historical figure. So the next song that we're going to play is Joni from the Ariel album. Joni, Joni wears a golden cross. She looks so beautiful in her armor. Of course, we're talking about Joan of Arc, that famous French heroine and Catholic saint. Now, many of you will already know the story of Joan of Arc. She was a French peasant girl who believed that she was divinely inspired by God to recover lands which had been taken over by the English. And she succeeded in leading the very demoralized and lackluster French army to several victories, but sadly was finally captured, unfairly tried, and burned at the stake by the English. She was only 19. Kate Bush's Joni gives us Joan of Arc at her pinnacle, passing through a sea of soldiers who all fall silent at the sight of her strength and beauty. Something I've noticed about the songs on the Ariel album, as opposed to some of the earlier albums, there's less of an emphasis on a detailed lyric with lots of references in it. And you'll notice this too. In this song, the lyrics are fairly simple and they are spoken or sung gently and they're repeated. While many of us love to deconstruct and analyze Kate's lyrics, what it allows is some space. And into that space, we get atmosphere. And for me, what Kate has achieved with this song is that by creating that space and filling it with lush instrumentation, which builds, we're able to visualize more strongly Joan of Arc, the way that she must have appeared to those soldiers who saw her as heaven sent. So, here is Joni from the Ariel album, Disc One.
Flashing in the
So that was Joni from the Aerial album. Our next song is also from the Aerial album, but it only just sneaks in to this episode on Kate Bush songs about historical figures. And it only just sneaks in because ostensibly it's about the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. But it's about a lot more than that. Now, in interviews, when asked about this song, Kate has talked about watching video of a young Elvis and being impressed by the sweetness and kindness that he showed as a young man, that he seemed the kind of young man who wouldn't like to say no to anyone and who was very polite and kind. But that as he got older, Kate got the sense that he grew unhappy. So this song gives us an image of Elvis as if he might have escaped death and was reliving his happy childhood, free from the prying eyes of a world watching him, of the pressures of celebrity and fame. So this song is actually more about the preciousness of childhood innocence and the beauty of the simple things in life. The emptiness of fame and celebrity and attention, which of course Kate would know something about. You'll also recognize the reference to Citizen Kane. Now I'm going to give a Citizen Kane spoiler here, so if you haven't seen it, turn down the volume for a second. Of course, Citizen Kane is about this mogul, media mogul, who becomes wealthy and powerful beyond all imagination, but whose final word, his final spoken word is Rosebud. And we don't find out until the end of the movie that Rosebud is actually a sled, which he loved as a child. And so Kate Bush gives us this image of Elvis in the snow with Rosebud. So instead of being king of rock and roll, we get to imagine Elvis happy and free, king of the mountain. Thank you. And that was King of the Mountain from the Aerial album, Disc 1. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Kate Bush Radio Show, featuring songs based around historical figures. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the songs and hearing about their origins. This show is really my chance to talk about one of my favourite topics, which is the songs of Kate Bush and really what's behind them. So I'd love to hear from you if you've got any thoughts or ideas or corrections to make at my blog, which is www.katebushradioshow.wordpress.com. I look forward to joining you again for our next episode. I'm not sure what that's going to be about just yet, but I know it's going to be pretty good because it's going to have lots of Kate Bush songs in it, so it's going to have to be good. Thanks again for listening. My name's Angela, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
It must be love.